Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night back in Northeast Wisconsin after a couple days in Madison, which was a lot of fun. I got to walk up and down State Street today and interview people about what they're watching and what they think about Madison. So I'm going to start doing that in different cities. That'll be a fun thing we can kind of cut together. That'll be awaiting Conrad when he gets back from his trip. I'll put a whole bunch of stuff on his plate, and I'm sure he'll love that. So, but we'll do that soon. Great to be back in Northeast Wisconsin. We're broadcasting statewide tonight, as we do every night. So I hope you are doing well in your part of Wisconsin. It is a beautiful night as we officially kick off summer. We're on the eve of the official summer kickoff here in Wisconsin with Memorial Day. Nightlight with Pete Chwaba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room on 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. Great little place. If you haven't checked it out, please do so. We got a couple texts here to catch up on. Tony Zimmerman says, just share it with the audience in case I need a place to crash during the NFL draft next year.
I believe that's when we were talking about phone numbers, and I was like, oh, just send it to me, and then, yeah.
Oh, he could hear that?
He could, yeah, on the stream.
On the stream, that's right. I got to watch what I say, because I always forget people on the stream can hear. Sherry says, hey, Pete, no screen, only sound. That's because we covered that. But Tony says, that's the voice of WBZH Daily News Podcast. I love that Tony's listening. He does text once in a while. Melissa Schiff Hardman checking in on the stream says, hi, Pete. Okay, bear with me, James. This is a great story. Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. The last place we lived in L.A., we were renting this house. It was only like $3,500 a month. It was a pretty good deal. And Melissa and her family lived two doors down. They went to the same grade school. So Melissa was very successful at what she did. Her husband, Jim, was a wine dealer. Aaron, do you like wine?
I do.
Okay. James, let's just bring James. James can read these. James Kelly joins us now, folks. He is the Northwestern News Bureau Chief here at Civic Media. James, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing so well, and I'm so glad you're on the show. And I know I'm kind of being jerky here, but I want to bring you in because I want to find – do you drink wine?
I have on occasion been known to indulge in some wine.
Okay. All right. Maybe we should get into that. But Melissa, my ex-neighbor, I shouldn't say old neighbor, her husband was a wine dealer. So we would go over there for things, whether it was a school event or just like to hang out. And her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around. And I, you know, my wife and I would buy like a $10 bottle of wine, you know, because that's what we could afford or whatever. We didn't know any better. So tasted this wine, $100 wine. I understand why people go crazy for wine.
Yeah, but it all like makes sense now. That actually, I had a similar story like that, and nobody fact checked this. When I was 18, a friend of mine and I went to his friend's house out on Long Island, this huge mansion type house, like super rich parents. And we were indulging in some beverages. Of course, I wasn't. I would never do such a thing.
I would hope not.
At the age of 18, not 21. I would never do such a thing.
That's not so bad.
But her dad came into the room we were all in and put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table. And was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. And we all just kind of looked at each other like, are you going to drink that? And I'm like, I'm not going to drink that. That's worth $500. I'm not going to try that.
That's like too good to drink.
That's exactly what we said. We were like, we're 18. We can't appreciate this.
We haven't even had bad scotch yet. How are we supposed to appreciate?
I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
You know, I right. Thank you for saying that, James, because now people won't sue Nightlight.
Of course.
But I, yeah, that was the thing. It was like, I could not believe what I was tasting. I'm like, and it was a tease because now I got to go back to, and then he would open spirits. He got into the spirits industry. So he was breaking out good scotch too. And that's almost, you almost don't want to taste stuff that you can't afford.
Absolutely.
Because
you can't afford it. You can't go back and get it again. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Walmart brand alcoholic beverages don't quite taste the same anymore.
And they used to taste great. Anything I bought at Walmart was king of the
hill. Back in the college days.
It's like, you just can't afford. I don't even want that on my palate because now I have to go back to the bad stuff. So, but it's great to hear from you, Melissa, if you're still listening. Hi to your family. And we had some fun times at your house. Let's just knock out a few more texts here. And I'm going to ask James. I'm going to interview James. I'm going to pretend I'm Barbara Walters. And I'm going to try not to make James cry as I delve into his childhood. It's, you already kind of did. So we've got Aunt Carla checking in. She says she saw Charlie at the Sauk County Fair. And that's a good place. County fairs. I did Summerfest as a stand-up comic in Milwaukee a few times. That was fun. Outdoor festivals can be very different than comedy clubs. But when people are going to see Charlie, they're there just to see Charlie. So I'm sure he crushes whether he's outside or inside. Carla continues. She says, oh, my God, when I say my flight attendant announcements, everyone asks me, where am I from? Wisconsin. She says it's okay to have an accent and continues, Johnsonville. Wow. You hear my voice crack there, James? It's like I just went through puberty in the air.
Yeah, I was going to let it slide. This is your show, man. I'm not here to upstage you.
We'll fix that in editing, right, Aaron?
Yeah, sure. This isn't live.
Carla says, Johnsonville beer brats are the bomb. Okay, no argument. She's not going to get any argument there. Andrew from Verona says, Pete, idea for the next question of the night. What's your most Wisconsin moment? Here's mine. Was going about my business buying a six-pack of beer at Quick Trip, and the dude behind me in line was Charlie Behrens. Well, that's a man of the people right there. Just going Quick Trip like the rest of us schlubs.
He's so famous. I knew about him before I even moved out here.
He's like U2 in Wisconsin, but if you go out of Wisconsin, he's still like the Backstreet Boys? I don't know.
Yeah,
he's
I think I saw something about him working with either Wisconsin or Minnesota's state government on a tourism project.
Oh, that was
pretty cool.
Very cool. Oh, he's blown up. And he's a New York Times bestseller. I mean, everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
Andrew from Verona says, pretty sure Billy Deuce was out in the parking lot in the truck waiting for Charlie. Unfortunately, I don't get that. Can you guys help me with that? I'm sure that's one of Charlie's jokes I just haven't heard yet.
Oh, I got nothing for you there.
Nothing. Aaron, nothing? Aaron's Googling, I'm sure.
He's another comedian. That's all I know.
Okay. Well, let's get him on the show, man. Let's ring it up. Billy Deuce. Conrad, take a memo in Italy. 715, Joe says, I collected everything from Pokemon cards. That's the first Pokemon cards we've heard tonight, to Beyblades. Wow.
I collect magic cards, but I was going to avoid saying it unless somebody else brought up cards.
I've got a little book of baseball cards back home.
I'm going to ask you about that, James. I know you're a big baseball fan. We'll cover that too. From the 818, Bridget says, I collected mouse statues. I would get one every birthday and Christmas. They are cute mice. My sister collected Madeline Alexander dolls. I have not heard of Madeline Alexander dolls, and I didn't know mice were collection worthy. But there you go. We've some great answers tonight on the question. I'm glad we went with this one and not the death one. James, our other question, the other one I was thinking about asking is, what age are you hoping to live to at least, like at a minimum?
Oh, that is a good question. Because I feel like once you start really getting up there, you're like, all right, like TikTok, pitter patter here.
Right. And the comedian Bill Hicks used to say, you know, oh, you'll live longer if you don't smoke or whatever. He goes, well, yeah, you get extra years when you're in your 90s. If I could have 10 more years in my 20s or 30s, it'd be worth it. I thought that was a good joke.
I'd live such a healthy lifestyle if I could choose where those years got added.
Right. Tony Zimmerman says, I had a Johnny Walker Blue, and that is the best drink I've ever had. Is that the best one?
I think that actually might be the bottle that got put down on the table for us when we were in college. And we all said, I am not doing that.
Because red is not, I think red is the lower.
I think red and black are the lower ones.
Yeah blue label is like $450. Depending on how big it is.
Probably it then.
It's worth it. Just sip it slowly. Tony says, that superior that Charlie is working with. Super cool. That is cool. And James, you're following probably one of the most famous people in Wisconsin tonight. I apologize for that. We should have had you come on first, but you're holding your own so far. You've come clean about drinking before you were 21.
I denied that publicly.
You did, but we
whether
can see
or not
all
that's true
face.
Is another story. But I think publicly I denied it.
Well, it's great to have you here tonight, buddy. I know you're from the East Coast. You're doing news in Western Wisconsin. How is that going? How do you like living in that part of the state?
I'll tell you what, it's definitely different from where I grew up. I grew up about 100 feet from the ocean, which has been adjustment for me. But I like living out here, man. Everybody's so nice. It's kind of off-putting how nice everybody is and how willing they are to have conversations with total strangers. Like, I'll get out of my car in the parking lot at the grocery store and somebody's like, oh, wow, New York plates. Like, what brought you out here? And they just want to chit-chat for 10 minutes. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I used to live in a building with like 300 people in it. I don't think I learned one person's name.
That's hilarious. I know. I like where I live in a small town too. And when you drive down a street, if people don't recognize your car, they eyeball you. The entire time you pass, it's like, I've never seen that guy.
That was like my hometown is the kind of place where, you know, I'd go into the deli one day for the classic Long Island bacon, egg, and cheese on a Sunday morning, and I'd see, you know, my third grade teacher, my sixth grade teacher, everybody I'd ever met playing baseball growing up, all my friends' parents, and somehow they all knew what was going on in my life before I told them.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I grew up on the northwest side of Chicago till I was 12, and when I would go back there, I went back to Chicago for college, and when I would see people from the old neighborhood, I realized this is not that much different than the small town in Wisconsin I went to for junior high and high school. Like, people stay there, they all know each other, mm-hmm. and they all know what's going on in people's business. It's like a little pocket of a small town within a really huge city. Where was 100 feet from the ocean?
That was in a little town called Bayville, New York, which is where I grew up. It's on the North Shore of Long Island, kind of a little cove town, a lot of oyster farming out there. My uncles were into that. And then after college for a little bit, I lived on the South Shore, also about 100 feet from the beach in a town called Long Beach, which was just the best.
Oh, wow. Nice. All right. James has been on the show now for about 15 minutes. I have not made him cry yet, but we are going to dig deeper into his childhood. We will get those tears. The rain is coming, folks. More with James Kelly. Coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's play two. Who said that, James? You know?
Let's play two. I don't know. I was locked in on that. That song is from one of my favorite montages and one of my favorite movies ever, Bull Durham.
Great movie.
Maybe the best baseball movie I think ever.
Yeah, I have not seen that in so long. I am totally due for a rewatch. Ernie Banks said that. It was a beautiful day, and he said, let's play two.
I get it. I'd say the same thing.
Absolutely. So we've got Aunt Carla checking in again. She says she hopes to live to be 101 years young. Poor my son Colin and Conrad. She's going to make Conrad take care of her, apparently, when she's 101. 101's a good run.
Yeah, once you get close to 100, I feel like you want to stick it out for that nice triple digits right there.
Absolutely.
You say, okay, I did it.
Start eating your broccoli at 101, definitely. All right, so James, Nightlight is on statewide, but I feel like I hear, and part of the reason I wanted to have you on is because I don't have as many people on from the western part of the state that I want to have on the show and find out what's going on there. So you do news there, you live there. What can you report? What is happening in your area of the state these days?
Yeah, the biggest news actually just came today. If you're familiar with the Western Wisconsin healthcare scene right now, it's kind of a mess following the departure of HSHS and Purveya from the region. They kind of abruptly closed two hospitals, one in Chippewa Falls, one in Eau Claire, and all the Purveya facilities in the region shut down. I think it was about 40 or so. Some of them, a couple of them are still kind of open until June, but they're not taking any new patients and they'll be closing soon anyway. So it's been a little bit of a scramble to figure out how we're going to cover all these gaps in healthcare that are left behind from losing two hospitals with two emergency rooms. Whoa. And now Marshfield and Mayo are both reporting huge upticks in how many patients they're seeing and particularly how many deliveries they're doing. It's been a rough scene, but earlier today, the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative announced that they're making actual progress on opening up an independent community hospital. It's going to be staffed by people from the Oak Leaf Medical Network mostly, I believe 125 physicians. There's no location, there's no construction plan, but they do have kind of an operational model ready to go, and they're hoping to settle on a location by August. I would hope that maybe that would include the St. Joseph's or Sacred Heart location because, I mean, if you're going to build a hospital, there's one sitting right there.
Yeah, right. Wow. So what city do you live in? Are you in Chippewa Falls?
I'm in Chippewa, yeah. The studio's okay. Here in Chippewa, too.
Nice. I always thought that was a great movie town, by the way. There are several movie characters from Chippewa Falls. I don't know.
Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic. Yeah. I've heard that one.
That one. And then have you ever seen, here's the New York movie for you, Annie Hall, Woody Allen film.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Christopher Walken plays Diane Keaton's brother in the film, Dwayne. He's like kind of a half-wit. And they live in Chippewa Falls. And that's Woody Allen goes back there to meet her family, and they're sitting around the table. And there's a classic scene where Woody Allen is walking down the hallway, and he sees Christopher Walken, a very young Christopher Walken, sitting in his room. And he just says, "This is my room, Alfie."
It's always so weird seeing a guy like Christopher Walken young and acting.
Oh,
it's like,
man.
You get in your mind like, wow, this is like a veteran of the game. He's been around forever. And it's just like, oh, you used to be young once.
I know. And I love, I was talking with Rob Thomas last night. I saw this movie called Rolling Thunder, a revenge movie where two Vietnam vets, William Devane and a very young Tommy Lee Jones, go out and get revenge. Tommy Lee Jones looks like he's like 23 years old. And it was just fun to watch just for that aspect alone. But anyway, Chippewa Falls. Do you like the area, James? How do you feel about the city? And you said everybody's nice, but how is it living there? Are you a single guy?
I am, yeah. And
okay.
It's nice out here. You know, there's a few nice places. Ironically, my favorite beer of all time, the Leinen Kugel's Summer Shandy.
Oh,
I did
nice.
Not know when I took this job and moved out here that Leinen Kugel's was here. That was a pleasant surprise for me.
No kidding. So that was your favorite beer in New York?
Yeah.
And then you come here and you're like, oh my God.
I was like, this is where they make it?
That is so great. That's a great, I'm not a beer drinker, but that is a great beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you end up here? I mean, did you answer an ad, or how did you end up in Civic Media, and how did you end up in that part of the state all the way from New York? Were you calling
actually,
the country
I
for
did
jobs?
I answer
or?
An ad.
Really?
I was in Binghamton before this, hosting a three-hour morning show up there, doing a lot of reporting up there as well. And then I came across this job, and it just seemed like a better fit for me. You know, a town, I won't say the name of the company, but the name of the company, it's a big company that you can kind of get lost in. Everything that I've seen from Civic Media, and even down to the mission of what we're trying to do here, which is just kind of bring some truth back to journalism for the most part.
Yeah.
It has been just
civility.
100% yeah. Exactly what I'm looking for.
I respect that you don't want to mention the name of the company you worked for previously, but does it rhyme with Schmoiters?
It does not.
Okay. All right. Just checking. Tony Zimmerman checks in again. He says, my wife worked at HSHS, left a few months before the closing, and said the pharmacist had to move out of the state to find hospital jobs. Huge
yep.
disruption to staff and the community.
Tell you what, wow. I actually I just joined a softball team out here, and the reason that they had openings was because some of the players on their team worked for HSHS. And they're like, well, we have to move somewhere else because we can't work at HSHS anymore. It doesn't exist. So they moved and they had openings on the team and said, oh, I guess we'll get this James Kelly guy, whoever he is, out here.
They probably never considered the effect it would have on local recreational softball.
Exactly.
When they made that. It's just so rude. So tell us how you got into the reporting game. How did you find this profession?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a strange path to how I got here. I've done a lot of different things over the years. When I was an undergrad in college, I studied city planning and thought I was going to do that forever. I really like it. I still really like it. But turns out when you study city planning and you live in New York City, all the people who went to like Harvard and Yale also want to study city planning in New York. So it was tough to find a job in that field. And I went to law school for a semester, got good grades, but I just, you know, my heart wasn't in it. And I figured if I'm going to be a lawyer, I better like it. Otherwise, it's going to be a pretty miserable life for me.
So I am never going to get to Chippewa Falls if I stick with law.
Yeah, exactly. I would never get out here. Yeah, so I started getting into sports writing, then sports radio, and then I ended up getting that news job in Binghamton, which I really enjoyed and fell in love with. And now here I am out in Wisconsin.
That's so cool. But you had a job in baseball. You love baseball, but you still, is that what you hope to get back to someday? Or you good with
news? I definitely love to work in baseball again. Okay. It was fantastic, and I got to do a lot of really cool things with it. Interview a lot of, you know, my childhood heroes, and when I was in Binghamton, we broadcasted their minor league games. So I got to interview guys like, you know, Anthony Volpe, Brett Beatty, Francisco Alvarez a couple times. So it was a cool experience for me, who I get really into prospects. I love the younger guys who have just unlimited potential when they get to the league before you realize what they actually are. So that was a lot of fun for me.
That is really cool. We'll talk some more baseball. I want to ask you about announcing, and we're going to find out what James is watching. It's great to have him here with me tonight on Nightlight, and it's great to have you here as well. We'll keep talking and having some fun. Maybe a few laughs when we come back. Big weekend. Pete Schwab and Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network. A baseball song, but The Boys of Summer was a book about baseball. I think about the Brooklyn Dodgers, right? And I love that song. The Don Henley, like, his voice is so great at, like, nobody on the road, nobody at the beach. Like, remember those days, like, in the summer when you're just partying, having fun and driving around, and then school starts and it's just gone. And you drive by the beach, no one's there, the leaves are turning. He captures that so beautifully.
Oh, I remember that quite well.
Yeah.
Every year.
Oh, you had falls in winter, not probably as bad as in the Midwest in New York.
Oh, yeah, definitely not in Long Island. I actually think this past winter was the first measurable snowfall in New York City in like 2 years.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. James, before we move on to some more entertainment and baseball stuff, what's the culture? What's the scene like in Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire? Like, are there great theaters there? Whether it's like live theaters, movie theaters, I would love to get more people on this show from that part of the state.
I'll tell you what, I've gone out and I've listened to some live music. Part of the downside of working on morning radio is that I'm in here at like 5:45 in the morning, so it doesn't really leave me a ton of time to like go out at night. And then, you know, the weekends come around, I get to like 10 o'clock. I'm like, man, I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Okay. So who are your role models? Like, before you were in new, let's do this. Who is someone you looked up to when you got into the news racket, and who was your favorite baseball player? Let's do news first.
Ooh, that is a good question. I don't think there was anyone specific. Maybe I really like recently Jon Stewart, now that he's doing the half comedy stuff, but he's also like really diving deep on doing like numbers, get numbers in there. Because right. my background, again, city planning, it's a lot of just looking at census data, and it's a lot of looking at just numbers and figuring out the story from those numbers. So when those numbers do come into play, it kind of like perks my ears up a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is factual data. This is actual provable information that we can take and right. then make a report out of.
Wow, that's a great answer, John Stewart. I was not anticipating that. I thought you'd say like Brian Williams or somebody, you know, like, but that's great. Is there a, what about baseball? You said you're a huge baseball fan. Let's get into some baseball talk. Who's your favorite baseball player growing up?
Oh, growing up, it had to be Derek Jeter, man. I was a Yankees fan growing up from New York. It was Derek Jeter all the way. And you know, Mariano Rivera was up there too. I actually have a ball back at home that Mariano had tossed to me from one of his bullpen sessions. I was like, whoa, like I was a kid when I got it. I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is the coolest thing ever. I'm going to keep this ball forever. And I still have it. So I guess I did keep that promise to myself.
Is that your favorite? My next question was your favorite baseball memory. Is that your favorite baseball memory, getting a ball from Mariano Rivera?
That is a tough one. That's up there as far as nostalgia goes. But I was in Yankee Stadium in 2018 when they played the Minnesota Twins in the wild card game, back when it was still a one game elimination playoff. When Didi Gregorius hit a 3-run homer at the bottom of the first, everybody in the stadium thought the game was over at the top of the first because Luis Severino had given up 3 runs and got taken out of the game immediately. And I was like, oh man, like here we go again. Like we're going to get knocked out in the wild card game. And then almost at bottom of the first inning, like nothing had even happened, Didi Gregorius ties the game up. And I swear, I thought that the Yankee Stadium was going to collapse. I was way up there in the upper decks and I could feel the ground shaking.
You know, I like you personally, James, but Yankee fans, they've won like one. They've won Yankees.
Hey,
the Yankees.
You're
going to
find that I agree with you here.
They've won 25% of all World Series or something like that. They still find stuff to complain about. I love like on Seinfeld when George tells off Steinbrenner and says they stink. And I guess the bar is raised when you have a great team. So if they have a down year or two, that is reason to get upset because they're usually so good. But yeah, it's tough. Like I've got so many friends that are Yankee fans. And as a Cub fan, growing up in Chicago, it was 108 years. Like the Yankees are winning.
That's
rough.
Well,
one
you had
out
2016.
It's crazy. And that was worth it. That was great.
Oh, yeah.
But my favorite baseball memory is I lived west of Wrigley Field by about 2 miles. My mom would put my brothers and sisters and me on the Irving Park Road bus. And my Aunt Irene and my cousins, the Keens, they had 4 kids. So it was the 2 moms and 9 kids would take the bus to Wrigley Field on Ladies Day, which was Tuesday. And we used to go into Wrigley Field by the fire station. I think it's on Waveland Avenue. We could carry a cooler in, and every kid you could carry got in free. And there was nothing going on at Wrigley Field. The team was terrible. We'd get there at like 11 a.m. and watch batting practice.
Such a beautiful ballpark, though.
And it was back then, too, and I didn't know any. That was just the ballpark I grew up going to. But you're right, and it's had a charm that it kind of still has. But, you know, I'll take the World Series. That was great. But those are just great days, going to that ballpark with my cousins and the players that come over and talk to you. Then after the game started, James, you could move down into the good seats, and they didn't care, you know? Was it like that in New York, too? Like,
It was and it wasn't.
Yeah.
If it was like a blowout game or a rainout, they'd kind of let you down. But if you were me and my friends growing up, you were a little sneakier about it. And, you know, you'd know that like, oh, eventually the security guard's going to turn to look this way or move over to this section. And we can just like sneak into these seats that we've been eyeing up for a couple innings here.
That's so great. And I'll give you another great memory. It was coming up to what was then County Stadium. My mom's family lived in Milwaukee at the time. And my Uncle Pat used to organize these tailgate parties. And that's what Miller Park, or formerly County Stadium, was known for. It was just great tailgating. And I was like, what are we doing in the parking lot? We're just sitting on lawn chairs and cooking brats and burgers. And it was so much fun. And that was a great culture, too. Like the Brewers just had – and Hank Aaron was there. I got to see Hank Aaron play when he came back to Milwaukee.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, I was very spoiled baseball-wise because and Tony Zimmerman says on the text, Jeter, get this guy off Wisconsin, off Wisconsin
listen,
radio.
Listen, Derek Jeter, man. He's Derek Jeter. There's nothing you could do about it. And I'm not like a 27 rings Yankee fans were like, oh, look at all these great seasons we had in the past. And man, that makes me so mad nowadays, because okay, baseball has drastically changed over the last 20 years with the birth of analytics. And now teams like the Brewers they don't have to spend a lot of money to put together a competitive product on the field. And if you're willing to be bad for 5 years like the Orioles, you can all of a sudden have this 100-win team full of young stars that are going to be around for so long.
Right. But it is nice the way the NFL does it, like with the level playing field. Don't you think baseball would... I mean, that's part of the reason the Yankees are so good, is because they have money and can outspend other teams. Like, don't you think, what do you think about that? I mean, you're a baseball guy. I don't follow it as much as I used to. Would the MLB, you know, be well served to do that, what the NFL does?
I'll tell you what, the owners have always wanted a salary cap, which would come with a salary floor if the players got it. But the players would never and have never agreed to a salary cap, because look at the contracts that they're getting. You know, they're getting all of this money. We're talking about Shohei Ohtani, a $700 million contract. Like, that would never happen with a salary cap, deferred money or not. So the players would never agree to it. So at the stage that baseball is at right now, if you're not a team like the Yankees or Dodgers that can kind of spend over your problems where you have them and stay competitive, you do have to partially accept that you're probably going to be a bad franchise for a few years, where you're building up prospects and trading anyone who has any talent whatsoever until it's time to be competitive. Or you can kind of go the Brewers route, where you trade a guy like Corbin Burns, who's in the prime of his career, about to enter free agency, but you know you're probably not the team that's going to re-sign him back. So get something back for him now. Same thing with Josh Hader a couple years ago.
Yeah, it is just so different. I guess it's just a different shell game. You got to move the pieces when you can to stay competitive. You also, it says you were a baseball analyst.
Yeah. I spent a lot of years doing sports writing, mostly baseball and sports radio. And I am very well versed in the analytics of baseball. So I like to think that I know more than the average fan, because I actually pay attention to some of these numbers, which is why, you know, I have a lot of faith in the Brewers this year that they're going to continue to be pretty solid and maybe win the division. It's going to be tough, a two-team race, but I like to take a step back sometimes and just kind of appreciate that, like, this is still a game. We're supposed to be out here having fun. Like, we should not treat baseball like this life or death thing every single day for 162 days every summer. You just can't live like that.
Yeah. What do you think about the Brewers? I mean, is it going to be, will they have like a 2 or 3 game lead right now? Are they the favorite, or will the Cubs make it competitive? What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting, because the Brewers and Cubs are kind of polar opposite teams, and they're both getting overproduction from opposite sides. Like, right now, the Brewers are hitting way better than the Brewers should be expected to hit this year, especially a guy like William Contreras, who I really like, but he's not quite as good as he has been so far this year. At the unfortunate side is that the pitching for the Brewers has really not been all that good, but they've just been able to outscore other teams, and that works. If you're going to score a lot of runs and give up a lot of runs, you're probably still going to win a lot of games. For the Cubs, it's been a lot of Shota Imanaga, who has been so much better than anyone could have possibly realized, because his fastball really is not that good. He throws it 60% of the time. It only sits low 90s. It doesn't really have great movement on it, but he's commanding it really well. If you throw a good pitch in a good spot, you're going to get outs anyway. And Javier Assad, and now Justin Steele coming back for them from injury. It's a very good pitching staff, but then you see a guy like, I personally love Mike Tauchman. He was huge for the Yankees in the 2018-2019 era, when everybody was just getting injured left and right. Man, he is not the hitter that he's been for Chicago this year. He isn't.
Boy, you know your stuff, my friend. My guest is James Kelly. He is the bureau chief for the western part of Wisconsin here at Civic Media. Does a great job, as does the entire news team. It's just top notch. So what was I going to ask you? So, tell me what you want to talk about when it comes to baseball, because I was going to ask you your next favorite movie. You said your favorite movie is Bull Durham. What's your next favorite baseball movie?
Ooh.
And you didn't really answer. I guess you said Jeter, but... And in James's defense, Jeter, to Tony Zimmerman, Jeter is a good guy. He's from Kalamazoo, Michigan, my nephews and my niece all went to Michigan and became, he gives scholarships and they're called Jeter's Leaders.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, not when they're at Michigan, but internships when they're Michigan students. So he is definitely giving back and he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah. I think people forget that he used to be part of the ownership group in Miami and I maybe didn't really work out all too well there. And I think I think he was actually one of the part owners when the Marlins traded Giancarlo Stanton to the Yankees. Which is definitely an interesting potential conflict of interest there.
Wow, no kidding. So if you had to pick another baseball movie, James, what would it be?
I do really like Moneyball, and that's more, it's just the recency, and you know, it's Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill, and they're both really fantastic in it, and and that moment where Hatterberg hits the home run, it's like, wow, like that's incredible, and it's easy to forget that the Oakland Athletics also had like multiple Cy Young candidates on that team, and Miguel Tejada won the MVP that year, which doesn't really get mentioned in the underdog movie.
Right. Aunt Carla checks in and says, Cecil Cooper, first baseman in 1982, go Milwaukee Brewers. That was shortly after we moved to Wisconsin, and I remember they were in the World Series with the Cardinals, and the Brewers lost. The Brewers have never, I don't think they've won a World Series yet, right?
I don't think so.
Tony Zimmerman says, Cleveland Guardians fan, and we've come so close so many times with young rosters, then we can't re-sign them because of James and the Yankees. You guys will have to work that off.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was the Mets that took Francisco Lindor, not the Yankees.
Yeah.
But Tony says, even going back to CeCe Sabathia, I know the Brewers took him for a little while and he had that insane run where he was just pitching every third day and said, you know, I don't care that I'm in the contract year. Throw me into the ground so we can make the playoffs.
That was cool. They had a window.
Stole from Cleveland.
Yeah. Tony says Major League is a fantastic baseball movie. I knew someone was going to say Major League. Cleveland and Bob Uecker. Yeah, that's a funny movie.
I actually used to fall asleep every night listening to Bob Uecker call Milwaukee Brewers games.
He's one of those guys like everybody in Chicago talks about Harry Carey. He was great, but he was more of a character. Like as far as actually calling the game, when we were out in, I lived in LA for 14 years and Vin Scully, his voice was like the perfect sound.
It was magic.
To the picture you were seeing. And it jumps out at you. That's how great it was. James Kelly is my guest. When we come back, I'm going to pivot. We're going to talk show business and find out what he's watching. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe hanging out with James Kelly on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just a bit outside.
We're back. It's Nightlight on a Thursday before a holiday weekend. We'll be here tomorrow night, too. My guests tomorrow night are Brian Eich. He is the subject of the film Father, Soldier, Son. He's a veteran and was the subject of a Netflix documentary. It'll be great to talk to him. Terry Barr is going to check in tomorrow night from Bratfest. I don't even know where Bratfest is, but Terry's fun. They're taking the weekend off on Max Inc., but she's still going to check in, and she's a blast to talk to every Friday night here on Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Do they still, James, did you collect baseball cards?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do they still make them?
Oh, yeah. They still make
them. Okay.
I actually think baseball cards have kind of made like a huge comeback, I think, really? Over the last few years.
They have.
I guess.
And other sports
that
cards.
That Joe DiMaggio or Mickey Mantle card sold a few years ago. And ever since then, people have been like trying to get it back going again.
Yeah, been a lot crazier than I expected. As I mentioned before, I collect Magic cards and I play that game. And a lot of stores will have limits on how many packs of cards or whatever you can buy on days when they come out. And they have recently started instituting the same policy for baseball cards because people will just go and buy out the whole store's stock on the day they come out in the hopes that they hit big.
And you buy enough, I suppose you would. All right, James, so before I ask you, let's do this first. What do you watch on TV? You're done with news. There's no baseball game on. What's James Kelly sitting down to watch?
Ooh, good question. I think the bear is probably what I'm most excited about coming up again. Because again, just to add to my unbelievably diverse resume, I spent a lot of time working in restaurants, bartending, serving, whatever. And it is pretty scary how accurate that show can be when it's not like the overly dramatic parts. Like, wow, like I actually remember doing, I remember screaming herd back into the kitchen.
Wow. Have you ever had a Chicago Italian beef sandwich?
I have not.
Okay. I assume you've had a Philly cheesesteak?
I have had a Philly cheesesteak.
Okay. Yep. That gets all the pub. I want you, at some point, you got to try a Chicago Italian beef sandwich. It blows the Philly cheesesteak out of the water. And I don't know why it's not. Yeah. And, you know, it gets a lot of, it's popular, but it's not like, I always hear Philly cheesesteak and I'm like, it's not even close. You get the Chicago beef, they dunk it in the juice. Oh, my, it's forget about it. Tony Zimmerman says, every time I hear Boys of Summer, I think of the Ataris cover. What is that? I didn't even know about the original.
Old video game system, right?
Is he saying Atari? I think it's a band, though, Ataris. Yeah, I don't know either. He says he didn't know about the original for a long time. Yeah, the original's
fun. Yeah, it is, so it must be just a cover. Also a band. Because that would be Atari is the console. Ataris is a band.
That's what I thought, but people sometimes when they're texting, they I don't know if he misspelled something or what. Stacy Sue says, hi, Pete. Hi, Stacy Sue. Great to have you with us tonight. All right, so you got the bear. What else? Have you seen any of the movies coming out this summer? Any summer blockbusters yet? Are you planning on seeing something?
It's a good question. I'm planning on definitely seeing the new Planet of the Apes movie eventually.
Okay.
I used to go to the movies every single Thursday when I was in grad school, because I'd get out of class at like 9 o'clock and I was bartending at the time. So I was going to be awake until like 2 o'clock in the morning anyway, but I wouldn't work on Thursday night. So all right, I guess I'll go to the movies and just see like whatever is out this week. And I saw a lot of good Oscar type movies and good, you know, Marvel superhero type movies and whatever was just out that week. I haven't been able to do that recently. But definitely the Planet of the Apes movie, because I think the first three that they did recently, the newer ones, were just fantastic.
They were. And Rob Thomas from the Capital Times was on the show last night. He wrote a review and loved The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And I liked it, but I didn't love it. But yeah, it's a cool, they call it world building. And yeah, it's if you like the first two, I think you'll love this one. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I also saw some behind the scenes footage of Andy Serkis filming the originals, and it just I could not imagine working in that environment, because you're just like all suited up in the motion capture stuff, and you're walking around like you're a chimpanzee, and it's just I would be laughing the entire time. I would not be able to get any dramatic work done.
Good to know. If they ever let me direct a Planet of the Apes film, I'll keep that in mind, James.
Yeah, skip me for that audition.
So you went to Queens College, I saw. I stalked you on LinkedIn. You went to Queens College. Can you tell me what famous sitcom star went there?
Ooh, is it Jerry Seinfeld?
It is Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. I thought so.
Are you a fan of the show?
I definitely love the scene going back to baseball too when George is talking to all the Yankees in the batting cage and like, well, we won the World Series last year. Yeah, in 6 games.
So is there any good minor league baseball around where you live? Do you like that kind of stuff too?
Oh, I love minor league baseball. Yeah. I know there's a summer college team up in Duluth called the Duluth Huskies that I might go up and take a visit to. Because I like college ball too, and I really like, I don't know if you've heard of the Savannah Bananas, which
I
is
have
basically,
not.
Yeah, they're like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. It's,
oh, wow.
The videos are incredible. You know, they send guys up to the batter's box on like 8-foot-tall stilts, and they get a hit, and they do backflips when they catch balls. It's incredible.
So cool.
At its core, it's just basically a summer college team.
But where, they play in the western part of the state, or just all over?
Oh, they play all over the country now.
Okay.
I actually think they are supposed to come out here this summer. I don't remember what town it was in, though.
Okay. Oh, that's so cool. All right, last question for you. Two of them. Favorite TV show of all time, favorite movie of all time? James Kelly, ladies and gentlemen.
Favorite movie of all time, I'd have to go with Empire. I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Okay.
Aaron loves that. For me. Yeah. Favorite TV show of all time, I think How I Met Your Mother Which is a little off for me because I don't watch a lot of sitcoms generally, but I think that show is just so perfectly well done. And growing up as a New Yorker, like, that's just mostly what I expected my life to be, living in New York City. Of course, I lived there when COVID happened, so it wasn't.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a bummer. You got to talk to Conrad. He loves, that's his favorite sitcom of all time, is How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, great life lessons along the way.
Yeah, I haven't, well, I got to check it out because I haven't seen much of it. Tony Zimmerman says, Eau Claire Express, not minor league, but semi-pro, I think. Semi-pro is fun,
too. Oh, yeah. I like Indy Ball. American too. I actually used to play with a guy who played Indy Ball.
Yeah, and they're fun. Like, as long as the players are halfway competent, it's fun. Even like American Legion can be fun too.
Yeah,
James,
we got the
thank
Long
you
Island
so much,
Ducks
buddy.
Out on Long Island that are all they're unbelievable. They got former MLB players there, top prospects who go on to be on MLB teams. Like, it's awesome.
It was great having you on, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for
Come
having me.
Come back and do it again sometime. All right, that's James Kelly, News Bureau, great reporter. Heading things up in Western Wisconsin for Civic Media. Have a great night, James. Thanks for being here. Thank you to Charlie Behrens. Thanks for all your texts. We got one here from Aunt Carla. She says, Bob Uecker just a bit outside. Love it. We'll be back tomorrow night for more Nightlight. Until then, I bid you a goodbye. I'm Pete Schwabe. This has been Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.